this week on the Time Bat Show.
That's interesting. So Mario was allegedly kidnapped, and he's traveling with Bowser and sending postcards. That doesn't sound like he was kidnapped to me.
No, it sounds like they had a holiday, and they didn't invite Luigi on it.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 111 of the Time Bat Show. I'm one of your hosts, Tim Aces.
And I'm your other host, Bat Snacks.
And we're in for a hell of a show today, Bat Snacks.
Are you so excited?
No, I'm actually really tired today. But
yeah, me too.
We're in for a hell of a show anyway, because I can just feel it. It's a good show coming off of this week. But first of all, how are you doing this week? Are you having a good week?
I'm doing better now that we're on episode 111. Do you know how cool that number is?
God. This is just you every episode.
I can't help myself.
We should have a separate podcast to talk about the episode numbers.
Yeah.
So that we can get it out of the way.
Yeah. Every episode that is no just talking to. About, like,
cool
each
numbers.
Number. Yeah.
Oh, it should be. We just have a cool number podcast, right? Yeah.
Every episode one, we talk about one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Wait a minute, we've already done that. That's already this podcast.
That's true.
The Cool Numbers podcast. Do you think anyone has a numbers podcast? Like each
I
week,
hope so.
Each week, we're going to look into a different number and talk about how cool it is. You know?
You can talk about numerology and the significance of that number in occult literature, and you can talk about science and all kinds of things.
Geometry, How often that number appears in nature, you know, like ratios and stuff.
Yeah.
And because there's one, you know, there's one number that appears in like all the things. It's like 1.6 something, right? Isn't that right? It's like
I've heard of that one. Yeah. I would love that podcast. Number. And you know, there's the other thing you can talk about is just how you feel about a certain number arbitrarily for no
like
reason.
This number makes me feel good, or this number makes me feel bad. What is your happiest number? Like association, like if you just had to be like, all right, pick a number that indicates you being happy. What number would you pick?
I like even numbers that have a lot of factors.
Sure. So what would you pick?
Like 12 is great. 32, 12. 64.
So you'd pick those. I'd probably pick 10 because that's a nice even round number. You know.
Also a lot of factors.
Mm-hmm. A lot of factors. Basis of our numerical system. What number would you pick that's like, oh, that's a gross number?
I was about to say this. I was watching Twitch the other day, and there was this streamer, and he said his favorite number was 53. And I was like, ew. I'm unfollowing you right now. Like, are you serious?
Anything that ends in a 3 really is a terrible number. Let's be honest. Well, that's not true. 3 itself is okay. 53. Oh, ooh. So gross.
It's terrible.
I was gonna say like 19 is a pretty gross number.
Yeah, that's bad too.
It's like, oh, you're almost 20, but you're not there yet. You're just 19. That sucks. Now that we've bored all of our listeners, then they've probably turned the episode off today.
Now we can get to the secret content.
Now we can get to the DLC conversations. You can only access this by paying our Patreon. No, we don't have one of those yet. But in time we will. Anything going on in the world this week? I feel like it's pretty been like a boring week in like world events and stuff, you know?
Yeah, world nothing, events, it's like pretty not busy.
I mean, you the can government tell. Is shut down, so
yeah,
literally nothing is happening right now.
I was about to say, have you read the news recently? They have nothing to talk about.
Like, there's nothing to talk about. It's like, well, the government's still shut down. It's like, okay, and that's it. That's all we got, everybody. It's like, okay.
I was reading a story. We didn't plan to talk about this, but there's this. I read in, I think it was on the BBC, they were talking, so it's not like American news, but still, they were talking about this sex cult they found with all these celebrities in it, and I was like, wow, really? You're really scraping the bottom, aren't you?
Oh, man, the sex cult. Who was at the top of the sex cult, do you remember?
The There was the guy that owns Virgin, you know, the
phone. Oh, Richard Branson, yeah. Is he in the sex cult?
He's in the sex cult.
Oh, really?
So was the Dalai Lama. I don't know. That might
be true. This doesn't sound real anymore. Like, Richard Branson, I could believe, but the Dalai Lama? Yeah. That was out of left field a little bit.
Yeah. It's called Nexium or something, and apparently it's really bad.
It's a sex cult. Is it real?
I don't know. Hey, it's in the BBC. It's got to be real.
Sounds like
right?
Something National Enquirer would write. Like, Richard Branson and the Dalai Lama and a sex cult. Global international sex cult.
Yeah. It's kind of the same kind of gig as Scientology. On their website, it's all about self-help kind of stuff. Like, how you can be more confident.
Is
and
it through
you know.
Sex, though?
I think. And then once you get involved, it's like they make you do weird stuff.
Sex stuff. Sex stuff. Come to our cult meeting. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a sex party.
How do they get people with this stuff? Like, okay, I mean, I could see signing up for like a help seminar, you know, help out me in my career, my confidence, feeling good. And then you go to the first meeting and it's like, we want you to take off your clothes and do all this gross stuff.
You just cut out and cut back in, just letting you know.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, but I got you back. Maybe the internet cut out.
It was recording, so it's
cool. Fine. What were you going to say? You said, they get people in this cult?
Yeah, I feel like if I signed up for a self-help class and you get there and it's all these weirdos doing crazy stuff, I mean, maybe I would stay, but I would leave.
You would leave. You would leave. Don't lie and say you'd stay. You're not, the kind of person. You're not a sex cult kind of person, you know? Have you ever had, like, not had... Have you ever wished you had kind of those crazy experiences? Because I haven't had any of those. And I don't want to. But, like, part of me, just to know what it is all, like, what goes on, like, you know what I mean? Like, part of me, I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah. Like, you know? Maybe they could install some, you know, some two-way glass. And I would just want to go look for, like, 5 minutes. I don't want to see the whole thing.
It's really weird now you're, like, peeping on them now. Maybe they want you to. Like, that's part of it. They're like, yeah.
I want you to.
Watch us. That's the initiation. You just watch the... This is weird. We're getting real weird early.
I'm so sorry.
No, it's fine. But you know what I mean? Like, there's all these crazy things people do. And, like, I've never done that much crazy stuff. And I don't really want to. But, like, part of me is like, well, I wonder what it's, you know, what it's like. Like, how does that work?
Do you know what I think... So I've thought about, like, doing this crazy stuff. I never have, but I've thought about doing it. And I just feel like if I got to that moment where you have to just start doing, like, it's...
whatever it is.
That moment where it gets real, like, okay,
like,
it's real now.
Happening. Yeah.
I feel like I just couldn't take it seriously.
You'd probably laugh and then...
I would just start laughing and be like, what the hell are we doing here? Like, are you serious, guys? We can't do this.
I don't know why, but I'm imagining, probably because you said Richard Branson in the Dalai Lama, I'm imagining like a big like palace ballroom with all these people in it, you know what I mean? And there's like waiters with like silver platters and stuff. And I don't know. Have you ever seen Eyes Wide Shut?
The vampire movie?
No. It does have Tom Cruise in it, though.
I don't think so.
Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman... They, like, have marriage problems, and they go to, like, a weird sex party in, like, a really fancy hotel or something like that.
Mm.
That's the scene I'm picturing.
How's that go for them? Does that spice it up a little?
No, it just gets really, really weird.
Yeah.
Like, all these people have, like, Venetian masks on, and they're doing weird stuff, and it's just really weird. Bizarre. But all my like knowledge of these things comes from that movie, which is probably completely fictional, but like I don't know what else happens, you know. It's probably a lot messier than the movie show.
Yeah. And you know, who decides what you do at these parties? Who's the creative engine behind?
Maybe there's like an orchestra man, like he's a conductor, and he's like, all right, everyone, listen up, tap tap tap. Time for this part of the proceedings. And then he's like, and a one, and a two, and a three, and a four. See?
Do they send an email out with like notes beforehand so you know what to do?
Maybe, yeah, they send an email and they're like, read up on this. Like, this literature is important to know.
Yeah.
It's choreographed.
I'm imagining like a big executive meeting style thing. It's like, oh, did you get the email to see what we're doing in today's meeting? And one guy's like, no, I forgot to print it out. Oh my god, do you have a copy for me that I can look at?
Like, yeah, I brought a couple. Here you go.
Yeah, one of the initiates is in the corner taking meeting minutes.
Like, he doesn't get to participate until he becomes a full blown member.
Yeah,
of the thing. This is gross. This is gross stuff. But Richard Branson and the Dalai Lama, yeah.
I'm sure it's real.
Oh, it sounds very real. Richard Branson, I can believe it, because he's like a billionaire playboy kind of guy, you know? But yeah. The Dalai Lama, I mean, come on. Isn't he just in, like, Nepal all day? Like, he doesn't leave, like, his palace, does he? I don't think he does.
He does. He visits places.
Is the Dalai Lama allowed to have sex?
I'm not sure.
I don't either. Because, like, most religious leaders are celibate. Like, that's just how it works.
Yeah.
But I don't know about the Dalai Lama. Like, maybe he's allowed to have sex parties. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I that's okay if he does, I guess.
Yeah. I just assumed he didn't, but maybe he does. Maybe that's his thing.
I've seen a picture of him, and he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that does.
That has a sex party.
Yeah.
I hope for the next Dalai Lama we can get someone like Richard Branson-esque. Like, he's like more of a sex party Dalai Lama, you know?
Yeah, he's got like a weird ponytail and...
He plays a lot of like 80s rock music.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I'm the cool Dalai Lama. And he does like cocaine or something too, because whatever. Probably offending people that... I don't know even what the religion Dalai Lama is.
Neither do I.
Damn it. It's not Buddhist.
Is it a religion?
Yeah.
It is?
I think.
It's not a government thing?
We're really showing how like worldly we are.
No, I have no idea what he does.
Anyway, Dalai Lama sex party. That's the topic of tonight. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'll have to look at this article, see who else is in this sex cult. Because I'm interested to know, you know.
In other news, there was something actually cool and scary that I did want to talk about.
What's that?
So I was listening to Science Friday today, last week's episode. Mm-hmm. They had a lady on, and she was talking about this phone app that she made.
Uh-huh.
What it does is it uses your cell phone speakers and microphone as a mm-hmm. sonar, and it's so accurate that it can detect changes in your breathing. And the purpose of it, the way she's applying it is that she wants it for opopioid addicts, so that when they use drugs, you know, what? If they're experiencing an overdose, it'll call the police for them.
Why go to great lengths for the opioid that, like, you design like the doomsday device and you're applying it to drug users? Like, what is this about?
Yeah, it's like the scariest. Good.
It's like it was like the app they have in like the Batman movie, right?
It's exactly like that.
It's like, oh, here's all the people. You can map them out and you can invade all their privacy through their cell phones or whatever. Doesn't sound like it'll be used incorrectly in any way. I'm sure everyone who uses it will be completely ethical.
Yeah, she was talking specifically about the Batman movie on Science Friday. She was
talking about it?
Well, she was asked a question like, oh, could you do what was in The Dark Knight, for mm-hmm. example?
Where it was like, map out all the people with cell phones or something. Yeah.
With their mm-hmm. cell phones. And she was like, yeah, we could do that today.
Seriously? She said that?
That's exactly what she said.
So it's like it's literally that app. It's literally that. And so she's created this terrible thing that she's applying to a good purpose in the hopes that other human beings will use it in a good way.
Yeah.
Well, I hate to break it to her, but humans aren't that nice. I feel like sometimes I go crazy with like the amount of faith other people have in other people. You know, it's like, wow, you really trust society. That is a mistake. You know.
It's like, surely no one will misuse this cell phone sonar technology for
in any
bad
way.
Purpose.
I'm sure the military has no interest in this, you know?
Yeah.
I'm sure they don't care. They don't want to, you know, bomb people around. I'm sure terrorists don't care about it either. They probably won't be interested in being able to map a room of people, you know.
Be able to, like, find out where every secret base is and the exact blueprint for every base.
They wouldn't be interested in this technology at all. I love how but nerds are so stupid and smart at the same time. Because they watch a science fiction movie about, like, horrible technology that's, like, the director's like, hey, look at this horrible technology that should never be used. Look how dangerous this terrible thing is. And, like, nerds look at it and they're like, wow, that's so cool. I want to make that. That's their first thought.
Yeah.
It's like, what? Did you even pay attention to the movie? It's horrible. You know? And this happens in, like, every movie.
Yeah, in The Dark Knight, the guy that was the head of Bruce Enterprises, when Batman shows it to him, he quits immediately. He's like,
this is dangerous and terrible. I want to destroy it.
Yeah.
And this lady's like, oh yeah, we got inspiration from that. That's a terrible device. And it's like, what? Are you even hearing yourself? Do you even know what you're doing? Ugh, that's stupid. We're just so, I don't know. I feel like we trust society to make the right decision, like, way too much. And as a whole, society's stupid. Like, we don't make the right decision ever. When have we ever made a good decision, like, collectively as a society?
I can't think
of one. I can't think of one. Like, collectively, I don't think individual people make good decisions. As a whole, we don't. No, as a whole, we don't. We definitely don't. And I don't know. I feel like when you invent things like this, you're just asking for trouble. You're just asking for it.
Yeah, nerd ethics is like, okay, so the nerd sees the technology in the movie and he's like, I'm going to make this. Let's say the technology is you press a button and it, you know, nukes something.
Yes.
Nerd ethics, the way it works is they think to themselves, okay, if I make this program so that if I press the button and it nukes Iraq, then that's unethical because someone will use it to destroy Iraq.
Right, right.
But if I make it so that when I press the button, it'll nuke somewhere the user chooses, that's fine.
Because then it's not Iraq and it's not automatic. Like, no big deal. They're obviously nuking wherever they're nuking for a good reason.
They'll use it for good.
Yeah, they will. It's fine. Yeah, it's totally fine. That is true. If it's, like, specifically bad, they're like, nope, nope, nope. But then if it's, like, it can be good or it can be bad, they just ignore the part where it could be bad. When it can it's just as bad as literally just having a button that nukes a specific place. It's just as bad, but they don't see it that way. I don't know. It bothers me. I just feel like... I kind of think the reason that we don't have this discussion is technology moves so fast. We don't have time to, like, sit back and be like, whoa, 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 whoa. You know, what are we doing here? Because it's always, like, on to the next thing, on to the next thing, you know? So it's like, we don't have time to step back and look at it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and question it.
Especially if you have something like that, where she was talking about other applications where, you know, this doesn't need to be on a phone. It can be on your watch. And what you can do is you can have an app that if you draw stuff in the air or make hand motions, it can detect that too. And you can use that to write. And
yeah. Great.
Or you can use it to map everything in the entire world instantly.
Yeah, that doesn't sound dangerous at all. Yeah. It reminds me of, like, you know, like the internet of shit or whatever, like just all the crappy internet-connected devices out there. We've talked about this on the show before.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me of that because it's like, they're not thinking, I mean, this is obviously worse, but the people that make these things, like an internet-connected toaster, aren't thinking about, like, the ramifications of their device. They're just like, I can connect to the internet. How cool is that? Let's do it. Boom. And they put, like, no security on there. And they're not thinking about, like, what it could do. And there's, like, I don't know, a story last year, like, a bunch of, like, toasters or fridges, like, sent a DDoS attack, you know, to somebody, because there's no security on these things. Like, you can just use it, you know? Anyone can hack into it and use it.
Yeah.
And they're just not thinking about that. They're like, it would be so cool if we did this. And they're just like, but, you know, who cares? Yeah, I mean,
security is expensive, and when those devices are used for stuff like that, they're not the ones that have to pay for the damage. They're just making a toaster. Like,
and the shitty thing is, the people that have to pay for it, all these, like, these infrastructure companies, these security companies, if enough stuff is gonna, like, if we get to the point where enough stuff is doing the shitty internet stuff, these security companies and these infrastructure companies are going to be like, hell with this. I'm not dealing with this shit anymore. This is too much. You know, I'm like, I'm out. And then it's going to be like the Wild West. You know? Every device is connected to everything else, and there's no security anywhere because there's too much stuff out there. Like, there are more internet-connected non-computer devices today than there were, like, computers in, like, the 1990s. I remember reading that somewhere. So it's like, it's ridiculous, you know, the amount of shit is out there.
How cool would that be, though, to, like, that version of the internet where all the security companies, they just bail because they can't keep up. It's not profitable to do it.
Yeah.
And the internet is just, everybody's got this loaded gun. We're like, you can bring down everything. And anybody can bring down anything.
You can just fuck everything up if you really want to.
Yeah. I don't know. did you like smack talk me on social media? You're never using the internet again.
You're done. DDoS you. Yeah, you're done. And you have to like buy a new computer and get a new IP address or something. I don't know. You'd have to do something fancy to do it. It would be a pain in the ass, but we would adjust as a society. I don't know how. There would probably be, like, other security companies, but they wouldn't do security anymore. What they would do is they would basically be, like, a mutually assured destruction company, right?
Yeah, it's like the mafia.
Yes, so if, like, someone attacks you, they're not going to prevent it because they can't. It's way too much work. But what they're going to do is fuck up that other person that attacked you.
Hell yeah.
Like, really good, so that if they ever do it again, they'll think twice. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I love that. It's like these black hats. You rent these goons and they just kill these guys that are messing with you.
And so it's just, it's basically like nuclear, you know, what's the word? In the Cold War, you know, when we like didn't nuke Russia and they didn't nuke us because it's like, oh, we're going to kill each other if we do it. So it's like, oh, if you hack me, then I got my goons. They're going to hack you. And there's like this power struggle. So you just have to buy the muscle to, like, back it up, you know?
Yeah. If I'm one of those black hat security companies, here's my first product. I want to create some kind of... Okay, so you know when you, like, go to break into a house? Not that either of us have ever done this, but if you see the security sticker on their window, you're like, I'm not going to mess with that guy. He's got security. ATP security. You're not going in there.
Right.
You need to create, like, a badge on the internet that's like, I'm protected by...
Yes, by whoever.
By Dark Clan.
Yeah. It would be all, like, stupid names.
Yeah.
Dark Clan and, like Shadow Vice or something.
Abyssal Void. Hackers are so stupid.
And they all these, like, really stupid, like, esports-looking fucking logos. Like,
it's like tribal dragons and shit.
Oh, that would be one. Like, dragon fire or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Dragon Dynasty.
You would go to, like, fight to, like, hack somebody, and there'd be, like, this badge that pops up, like, are you sure you want to mess with this? They're protected by Dragonfire or, you know, Abyssal Void. And it was like, wow, they really fuck you up, whatever. I don't know how that technology would work, but it sounds really cool.
Yeah. I love that.
Anyway, we were talking about the hacker clans or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, they would totally get into, like, power struggles between the companies. Because they're kind of operating within the law, but, like, everything's fair game on the internet now. So, you know, like, they can kind of skirt it a little bit. So they would totally, like, attack each other to try to be like, oh, look at Abyssal Void. They don't have enough security because we attacked them and they went down or whatever, you know?
Yeah, if you take them out, you can take their turf, take all their customers.
Take their turf. It just sounds really fun. It's a fun cyberpunk future.
And, you know, we rely on the internet so much. It would be one of those things where, like, critical infrastructure, like utilities, banks, and stuff like that, they would have to buy these hacker groups because the only way to protect yourself.
Certainly. And, like, if you go into, like, wellsfargo.com or whatever, you know how, like, there's that little, this is what it would be. You know how there's that little, like, lock icon in your toolbar to indicate right. it's a secure website? Mm-hmm. Well, now it would be, like, the logo of the clan that's securing them.
Yeah. It'd be a skull with barbed wire wrapped around it.
Protected by Bonesaw Clan. I love it. And they would pay, like, for sure would pay for that. And that would be, I don't know, it would be unique. It would definitely be more interesting than the current internet. Okay, you got three trivia today. They're really weird categories today, so I'm not going to even list what they are. Okay, well, yeah, I'll list them. There's video games, there's anatomy, and there's entertainment. So, first I'll give you video games. What lifeline would you like?
Video games, I feel like I know a fair bit about, so okay. I'll use 50-50.
All right, 50-50. Charles Martinet credits what Shakespeare character with the inspiration for Mario's voice? Charles Martinet is the guy who voices Mario.
Okay.
And Waluigi and Wario and Luigi. But he credits this Shakespearean character with the inspiration for Mario's voice. Is it Benvolio, Petruchio, Othello, or Hamlet?
Is Hamlet Italian? I don't think he is. I don't know anything about Shakespeare.
Well, think of it now. What are you leaning towards?
All right,
Benvolio, Petruchio, okay. Othello, or Hamlet?
Okay, three of these sound like they could be Italian because they have an O at the end.
I knew you could say that. I just threw Hamlet in because he's a very famous character.
Yeah.
I mean, he could be Italian. He's not.
I know that Patrick Stewart played Hamlet, and I just don't think he would do well in an Italian role.
Mm-hmm.
So there's my logic on that one.
See, I love how you used that terrible logic this, but yeah, that's good. It's good logic. So.
All right, I'm going to 50-50 it because I have no chance otherwise.
You're going to 50-50? Okay. The answer is either Benvolio or Petruchio.
The most Italian sounding.
That's what I'm going to go with. So Benvolio has a lot going for it. Volio, that's kind of like a viola. Isn't that Italian?
Sure.
String instrument.
Sure. Whatever you say.
Yeah, I'm leaning more towards Benvolio just because that sounds more Italian to me.
Mm, that's true. I mean, Petruchio sounds Italian too.
It does, but I'm going to go with
what you're saying.
Benvolio reminds me of Bertolli, which is pasta sauce that they sell at my grocery store. So
that doesn't seem racist at all.
Just kidding, it's fine.
So I'm going with Benvolio, final answer.
Benvolio is incorrect. It's actually Petruchio. Goes to show you how much you know about Shakespearean characters. But, I mean, they're both Italian. You are right. Charles Martinet credits a Shakespearean character with Mario, which I thought was kind of cute and weird. But
does... What's Petruchio from? Do you...
Taming of the Shrew.
Taming of the Shrew? Okay, I think I read that in school, but I don't remember anything about it.
It's a comedy or whatever. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. Charles Martinet's a weird guy. He, like, only does Mario voice. Like, he doesn't do anything else. It's his whole career is just Mario voices. You know?
Mario doesn't really have dialogue, too. He just kind of makes actions sounds.
This guy has just been making noises for, like, 30 years. Just, hello, it's me. Ah, who, hi, he. And then, like, the Wario, which is, wow. And then the Luigi, which is like, oh, no, dude, oh, man. And then I can't do Waluigi, personally.
There you go.
We got them all down. Between me and you, we have every single voice from the Mario canon down pat. But yeah, he doesn't do anything else. He just does that. Isn't that kind of strange?
That is strange. It's usually cool. Like, he must be crazy successful to be the voice of Mario.
They probably pay him a lot of money. Like, they have him on retainer, and it's like, you're doing all the Mario voices from forever, you know?
Yeah.
I think Mario talked for the first time in, like, a really long time. For the first time in ever. Like, in a game or two back. I don't remember when, but...
I think I remember this, and I remember hearing it and being like, whoa, that was a lot. Like...
yeah, I'm just trying to see if I can find it.
Do you remember at the end, I think in at the end of the Mario Party games, when Mario wins, there's a pretty long sequence of noises. It's like, there's a woohoo, I did it, great job. And it's
woohoo,
like, whoa,
I did it, great job. And you're like, whoa, Mario, that's a lot of settle sound. Down. You're making a lot of sound there, buddy. Let's tone it down a little here. Yeah, I don't know. Oh my god. I'm looking at his Wikipedia page. It's like a jillion credits, and it's literally all Mario. Like,
all Mario.
Just Mario.
Does he do Peach too?
No.
Okay.
He does. Okay, this is the one non Mario role I can find. He played William Shakespeare and Ludwig von Beethoven in Carmen Sandiego's Great Chase Through Time in 1999. That would have been a good trivia question. I should have told you that.
Yeah, we could have saved that one. That's amazing.
Good. Oh, he was Shakespeare and Beethoven. The voices of, you know. It's really cool.
I have a Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego binder at work.
Do you really?
I really do, yeah.
Have you had it since childhood?
I don't remember how I got it, but it was one of those old editions that came with like 15 floppy disks. It was like that old game you would play, educational game.
I liked Carmen Sandiego as a kid, did you?
Yeah, it was a good game. I never beat it, but...
It was cool because you, like, learned geography and stuff. You know,
yeah.
Learned stuff in the world. It reminded me of, did you ever play Mario is Missing?
No.
Okay. It's like, it was a Super Nintendo game. And you played as Luigi, and Mario got kidnapped by Bowser. And for some reason, this is not set in the Mushroom Kingdom, A. And B, Bowser is, like, globetrotting with Mario for some... Like, it doesn't make any sense why he's doing this. Like, he's taking Mario all over the world. And he's sending Luigi postcards. And so Luigi looks at the postcard, and it's like, oh, Mario was in... Like, a good example is, like, Mario was, like, in Italy or whatever. So Luigi goes to Italy... And then, like, during your place in Italy, you, like, learn about Italy. And you, like, you step in Mario's footsteps. But in doing so, it's just a ruse to educate you about places. So you, like, learn about, you know, the Leaning Tower of Pisa and the Colosseum and, you know, yada, yada, yada.
That's interesting. So Mario was allegedly kidnapped, and he's traveling with Bowser and sending postcards. That doesn't sound like he was kidnapped to me.
No, it sounds like they had a holiday, and they didn't invite Luigi on it.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
They're like, Bowser, I want to go on vacation, but my brother is kind of annoying. And Bowser's, being the evil genius he is like, I know what we can do. We can say that I kidnapped you. Give him a quest, you know, and then Luigi will be excited because he gets to... Luigi's always excited when he can be the hero, you know.
What was that Bill Murray movie? It's like the exact plot of this. His brother wants to get rid of him for an evening, so he has him do a murder mystery show.
Oh, yes!
It wasn't What About Bob. That's the psychiatrist movie.
No. It's, The Man Who Knew Too Little, is that
That's
it?
Exactly yes. It, yeah.
I love how I know this. Like, nobody knows this but me, because I know a lot. I've seen every Bill Murray movie, because they're all
great
in their own way. But yeah, he's like, and he's like, he gets embroiled in like a spy conspiracy thing or something, right?
Yeah, the murder mystery show, like, gets hijacked somehow by real life mob events, and then Bill Murray thinks he's in a play and does all this amazing stuff.
It's a great movie. It's really bad, but you should definitely see it. It's amazing. You should check it out. The Man Who Knew Too Little, yeah, that's good. But yeah, Luigi always gets the short end of the stick, I feel like.
Yeah. Like, yeah, they gave him a girlfriend, Daisy, but, I mean, Daisy's never been kidnapped. Like, he's...
Do they even like each other? I've never seen them, like, together before.
They have a baby, don't they?
Do they?
Baby Luigi?
I think that's just Luigi as a young person. Like, he's just time-traveled baby Luigi. I don't think they actually have a kid. I've never seen Luigi and Daisy, like, together before. Like,
neither have I.
They seem to keep to themselves, you know? So either, maybe Mario has just told Luigi that Daisy's his girlfriend. Just like, hey, Luigi, see that girl over there? And he's like, yeah, And Mario's like, that's Daisy, that's your girlfriend. And he's like, oh. And like, she never talks to him. And Mario's just like, she doesn't talk much though, so you just have to, you know, play cool. Yeah. And Luigi just doesn't know. And he just assumes that she's his girlfriend, but like, she's never spoken a single word to him, ever.
Yeah, Mario and Peach, in all these games, they have, you know, everybody's kind of got a couple, maybe, mm-hmm. Yeah. And Luigi's the odd man out, and Mario's like, you know what, we got to get you someone, because you being alone at all of these tennis parties we're having.
It's really sad, because you whine all the time, because you're Luigi, and so Mario just pretends that Daisy is his girlfriend, and Luigi being like a stand-up guy doesn't like try anything. He's just like, okay, and then he just believes it. Goes along with it. And Daisy doesn't even know. Oh, poor Luigi. I feel like if I had one Nintendo character to relate to the most, it's Luigi. Like, I've always felt like a Luigi my entire life.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? Is that a weird thing to say?
Not really. I identify with Luigi, maybe not as much as he's not like my soul character or anything.
I mean, he's not my soul character, but I like identify with Luigi like a lot.
Yeah, I can feel some. I feel Luigi feelings.
Luigi feelings. Like, he's always. Let's run it down the list, right? He's always second fiddle. Always, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
He never succeeds, really. Like, he'll succeed sometimes, but it's almost exclusively through random chance from like him tripping a certain way. Like, he's like the Mr. Bean of Mario characters, you know, like he'll just fall into success out of luck, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's never like through his own, you know, power or perseverance. So he's always second fiddle. He rarely succeeds, and when he does, it's completely by accident. And he's like scared all the time. He has anxiety, like a lot of it. He's probably depressed a good portion of his life.
Yeah.
And he's living in the shadow of Mario. Not only Mario, but like all the rest of the Mushroom Kingdom, who are all like really good at what they do. Like, Mario's a really good hero. Bowser's a really good villain. Peach is a really good princess. All the Toads like are competent. And Luigi's just like, I can't do anything right. You know, even the games that he has, he's still not good at anything.
Yeah, like, if you think about it, you know, everybody in Mushroom Kingdom has their job, like, something they do. Like, if you take Luigi out, nothing really happens.
Nothing changes. Yeah, nothing changes. The equation is the same. Bowser still kidnaps Peach, Mario still saves her, the Toads still help. You know, that's it. Nothing really changes.
And, you know, Luigi also is, for some reason, has a lot of supernatural experiences and properties.
He does. Like,
they're not only Luigi's Mansion, which is the ghost game, mm-hmm. but all of his attacks in Smash games and like Mario Kart, they're all weird and psychedelic and have like ghost properties or something.
Yeah. Because he's like tapped into that or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just imagining all of it.
Maybe because he's been rejected so much, he's like, he's driven into his own internal
that's
world.
That's his defense mechanism. Yeah. It's just like make up stuff. And whenever he wins a race in Mario Kart using a ghost item or whatever, it's not real. He just like, he dreamed that it happened.
Yeah. Luigi's Mansion didn't really happen.
Poor Luigi. It's probably just a dream.
Yeah.
Poor Luigi. I just identify with him because he's like, he's bad at everything. And everyone knows he's bad at it, but they don't tell him directly. You know what I mean?
No.
They like pretend that he's good. You know, they're like, oh, Luigi, you're fine. You're a great guy. You're fine. And then like they'll turn around and be like, God, he says he's a mess.
Yeah, you know, but he's been around for so long, we just can't get rid of him.
Right, he's my brother. Like, I can't get rid of him. Like, he's my brother, you know? And that's how I feel like in my life sometimes. Like, I feel like people tell me to my face, like, oh, you're doing great. You really got this life thing figured out. And then they'll turn around and be like, wow, what a mess.
What a mess.
Yeah, he needs some work. Oh, that's how I feel like sometimes. Ugh, man. It's good to be able to talk to somebody about that, though, sometimes. Because you got to let that out sometimes, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the problem. I'm sorry, I'm getting deep again.
No, let's do it. Happens. Come on.
When you have, like, I don't know. I don't know where you are, like, socially with a bunch of people that you see day to day. But I'm not really of a capacity where I could just go up to a friend at work. And I have plenty of friends that in my town at work and stuff that I'm friendly with and I hang out with and blah, blah, blah. But I can't just go up to them and be like, you know what's been on my mind? The fact that I'm Luigi of life and explain all of my paranoia and stuff. Like, I don't really have that. And the problem with not having that is you just kind of think about it in your head a lot. And yeah. Just builds and builds and builds and builds, and you get, like, really more paranoid and bad, so...
Yeah, I feel that. It's like me, too. It's the same at my job. I can't tell anybody about...
But, like, it's not for, like, lack of having friends and acquaintances and, you know, people that you really like and you are good at talking to or whatever. It's just that, like, it takes a relationship level somewhere where, like, someone's not going to judge you for, like, being like, you know, I'm really feeling really shitty about myself
today, you know what, you know? I'm not perfect. Yeah. I can't.
You know, like, it's,
yeah, you wouldn't want to admit that.
It takes a certain level to do that, and it's nice to at least have a couple people in your life that you can vent to.
But it's, I was thinking sometimes about something kind of related recently, with sort of kind of related to my New Year's resolutions that I have been working on, but
yeah.
I feel like I can't talk about my victories yet because they're too small.
Oh my God, this is a great topic.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm yes, so glad I did. I did some really big stuff in the past few weeks, like huge for me. But yeah. I can't say it because to a normal person, it would, like, be nothing.
This is a really good topic because I feel like I have a very similar problem. Like, I'll have, like, small things that I did, but they'll, like, be big to me. And I'll be like, I can't tell anybody. This is so stupid. Like, they'll think it's stupid.
Yeah.
And, like, go ahead.
Not only by revealing your little victory do people be like, wow, you know, that's nothing. Then they'll realize this thing you're working on is actually, like, such a huge problem for you that, like, it's scary.
They'll realize that your bar is set so low that they'll be like, wow, he calls that a victory. Like, he's got some shit.
Yeah,
got wrong.
There's something wrong.
Like, he thinks that is a victory. It's like, wow, what a loser, you know?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I agree. And there's a couple people that I could talk to about that. One is you, the other is my wife, and maybe one other person in the world. But nobody, like, day-to-day, you know, that I see, like, a friend on a daily basis, no one I can say that to. You know, if I do something good at work, there's nobody that's, like, a small thing. There's nobody I can be like, hey, I did this. Because they would just be like you said, be like, you're bragging about that? Like,
you're bragging about that? Wow.
That's messed up. But here's the other thing. Other side of the coin. I see people all the time mention their small victories all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you? I don't know if you do.
It's different. With work-related stuff, yes. With personal stuff, no. People, I don't hear people talk about small personal victories a lot.
Victories, yeah.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. I hear people talk about, like, oh, I did this thing at work that was, like, really hard for me, but I got through it and it was cool. And, like, they'll brag about that. Not to say brag. Brag's a long word. They'll say that. Yeah. And I'll think to myself, like, oh, that's not that impressive, but good for them. But if it was me that was doing this, I would never bring it up because I'd be like, oh, people are going to judge me that, like, wow, he's impressed with himself that he can do that. Like, what a loser. Yeah.
Like, hey, I sent an email to one of my superiors today, and I only spent 3 minutes on it. I didn't worry about my salutation. I didn't worry about how I signed my name.
And they're just like, that is what you're impressed with yourself with? But going back to the personal thing, yes. I don't, like, I think that's really hard. For everybody, probably.
Yeah. This is not one of the things I've been working on, but say you're a runner. It's just the first thing I can think of.
Okay.
You can't just post on the internet, "Damn, I ran a half a mile today. I'm really proud of myself."
Because then I'm going to be like, "That's it, you loser? I ran 5 miles today," or something like that.
Yeah. You have to do is, you have to wait like years and then be like, "Oh, I ran the River Run today. I ran 9 miles."
And then people are like, "Wow, that's awesome."
Yeah.
But like the small
thing. You can't talk about those little victories leading up to your big one.
And this is a very interesting problem with our society right now.
Yeah.
And I was reading a tweet about this today, and this is very interesting. And the tweet was basically like, I'm trying to remember the phrasing. Oh, it was basically something to do with, whenever I do something new, I want to be immediately really good at it, or else like it feels like I'm wasting my time.
Yep.
And the reason for that is because you can't tell people, "Hey, I'm learning to play guitar. I can play one chord. Watch this." Because they're not going to give a shit about that, because they're like, "Well, that's great. Who cares?"
Like, look at this guy. He's trying to play guitar. He's, like, 35?
He can't do anything. You know what I mean? It's like, but, like, if you're immediately good, you can brag about it, and people can be like, "Wow, that's amazing. Great job." But, like, you can't get the confidence boost to continue doing it until you're already good at it. So it's like, it feels like a waste of time to a lot of people, because they don't have the support system of people. Like, here's a good example. Everyone makes fun of their mom for being like, "Mom, I just did this stupid thing. You don't have to be like, 'Great job.'" But she's always like, "Oh, great job, honey. You did great at that." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, we've all had that. But like, that is so important for encouragement, even though it's like really dumb and like you feel stupid about it in the moment. Like having that little like moment of like you do something dumb and like you learn something dumb and she's like, "Great job. You're doing great." Like that. Yeah. Lets you know that like one person out there is proud of you and you can keep going. But today it's like you learn something or you succeed in something and you're like, "Wow, I did something great, but I can't say it because people will make fun of me because I'm not very good."
Yeah. You know? Another big one, which is like probably the scariest one or just like the deepest one to me, is when people try to make personal lifestyle changes, like losing weight or like sobriety or stuff like that. They'll say something like, "Oh, I'm on day 3 mm-hmm. and then you like, I know, like I do it too. When I see a post like that, I'm like, "Day 3, look at you. What a mess, man. You must be really out of control if you're like, that's celebrating it? You're on day
3? Wow. Yeah. No, it's true. And everyone's so judgy.
Yeah.
I think it's because we're so exposed to
success
and even more so than we've ever been because of the internet. Like people can brag, like successful people can brag now more than they ever could
brag. Yeah,
like if the internet is what has done one thing, it has made a platform for people to brag about how good they are, like really well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes other people feel real shitty because like, I can't do that. You know, I'm not going to even bother trying because this guy is out here, you know, kicking ass and I'm nothing, you know?
Yeah. Important stuff to think about, maybe. It
feels bad. Yeah. I don't know what the solution to that is.
It's not just being honest about small victories. Like, no, just don't just start celebrating them out in the open because you're going to get torn down.
I think the solution is, this is not easy, find someone you can brag about. And brag is the wrong word, right? Bragging sounds like, "Oh, I'm better than you." It's not. Find someone you can tell about your small victories and they can be like, "Great job, that's awesome.
Yeah, I'm proud of you." Find some encouraging people.
Find someone that can do that, because the internet is not your source of that. And ignoring that is important. And you need to find someone that can just encourage you and be like, "You're doing great. Good job. Keep it up," you know. And trying to look outward, like on the internet or on like, you know, the general public, they're just going to make fun of you and disappoint you.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's tough, man. I would encourage you if I knew what your personal things
were. Yeah, unfortunately, I'm too private.
We don't have to talk about that on the air. Okay. But if you ever want to text me and be like, "I ran half a mile today," I'll be like, "Great job."
Maybe I'll text you tomorrow and be like, "It was actually a quarter mile."
Hey, hey, you know what? That's fine. I'm proud either way. I'll be like, good job. And then I'll text back and I'll be like, I lifted 10 pounds today at the gym. And you'll be like, great job.
Keep doing it.
And then we can just text back and forth like the stupidest, shitty victories that we have over the course of the day. Like I made myself a sandwich today and it was really good. And you're like, wow, great. That's awesome.
I took my trash out as soon as it was full. I didn't just let it sit there.
Yes. These stupid things. And then your brain will be like, wow, I'm getting encouragement from doing these things, and then it'll want to do it.
Yeah.
As opposed to putting all these things off because, you know, you know you're shitty at them. This is the solution for society, I think. Just find a buddy that you can just text back and forth with your stupid, like, victories.
Yeah. And don't find them on the internet.
No. Well, we can make a service.
Here we go.
Encourage buddy. Encouragement buddy.
Yeah. Pocket mom. Wait, no, that's not what you want to call it.
No, that's it. That's the name now.
That's not a good name.
Pocket mom. Oh, no, it's pocket mom for sure now.
Great.
Pocket mom. You text pocket mom and you're like, mom, I ran a pocket mom, I ran half a mile today. And she texts back like, great job, honey. You're doing an amazing job. Keep up the good work.
You remember that DS game, Cooking Mama?
Pocket mom, yes.
It's her.
It's the same, like, avatar.
She's so proud of you.
It's like an AI that just, like, says great job no matter what you tell her or whatever.
Yeah.
It would have to be a little smart, right? It'd have to know when you're saying something you're proud of.
No, I think it actually has to be another person, because an AI just doesn't work for that kind of serious psychological. I was
gonna say it could be another rando where like you could be each other's pocket moms, but I don't think that would work.
Very bad idea.
You don't want to be my pocket mom? And you to be my... So what you would have to do is literally like hire another person to be, like, the company that makes the app would outsource the pocket mom to somebody, to, like, somebody in India or something.
Yeah, get some Ukrainian teenagers to be pocket moms.
Right. And they're, like, 1,000 users' pocket moms. Like, each of them is, like, 1,000 people's pocket moms.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what they do all day. They just, like, you know. And the app is, like, it costs, like, maybe it's free, but it's, like $5 a month or something like that.
Yeah, you could have it be free, and then you can get, like, mom tokens or something. And if you spend extra tokens, then you get more mom time per month.
Like, it's limited. The free one is limited to, like, one word of encouragement per day or something like that, or per 3 days. Mom tokens, you can do it, like, as many times as you want.
Yeah, and you can get... See, this is how you get people. You get them addicted. They need that encouragement, and they got to buy lots of mom points.
And then when you had a bad day, you're like, I had a bad day today. And that costs more mom tokens, because then she has to come back and be like... Chin up, honey. You'll get them next time, or something like that, or say some mom encouraging kind of thing.
Oh yeah, if it was a bad day, you got to charge extra for that because no one wants to deal with that. Like,
fuck, this is our best idea yet. Pocket mom. It would make money. I mean, I think it would make money.
I'm not gonna lie, I would probably use it.
Like a lot of our other ideas are like, haha, tongue in cheek. Like, this would never work. This literally, I don't think pocket mom is the right name, but I think people would use this for sure. There's a lot of down people out there that are sad all the time and they don't get encouragement. And having someone that can, at a touch of a finger, that sounds wrong. Having someone just immediately tell them they're, you know, doing a great job. That's worth it.
You know, you're hiring the Ukrainian teenagers. They're not going to tell anybody about your embarrassing life stuff.
No, they wouldn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Nobody even knows who they are. They're anonymous, you know?
Yeah. I think on the website you can say that they have, like, certified encouragement specialists.
Yeah, they're, like, they're certified therapists or something like that. They're, yeah, like...
I don't think you can call them a therapist. Okay. You have to use, they're like, a special
certified
word.
Encouragement specialists.
Yeah.
By the Ukrainian government.
Yeah, and you get, when you apply for a job at the Pocket Mom factory, you get your certificate.
You have to pass, like, a very, very simple test. It's like, are you a serial killer? No. And then be like, describe your perfect day. And if it's, like, not dark and gross, then they're like, you're hired. You're a Pocket Mom certified mom. You know? Well, that's it. Pocket Mom.
Great idea.
Yeah. You want to read for your second trivia question?
I'm ready. I actually don't know how far along in the show we are because
I think we're about 50 minutes now.
Okay.
My thing says, my first thing says 28, and this current one says 28. So we're a little over 50 minutes.
Okay. So
we, all right. So we have like 20 minutes left ish. Okay. So your second trivia question, the category is anatomy. What would you like as your lifeline?
Monty Hall, because I don't know anything about anatomy.
Perfect. Okay, this is a good one. Most people have two hands. One is commonly... What's so funny?
Really?
I haven't finished the question yet.
Okay. What the hell kind of question is this?
You'll see, okay? Just quiet for a second. Sorry, I can't stop laughing at this question. Okay. Sorry. Alright. Okay. Most people have two. Most people,
you can't do it.
Most people have two hands. One is commonly called the right hand. What name in English is normally given to the other? Is it A, the anterior, B, B, the left, C, the posterior, or D, the dorsal?
I think this is a trick question. I think you want me to think it's the left.
Maybe.
Because this is an anatomy question.
Most people have two hands. One is commonly called their right hand. What name in English is normally given to the other? Is it the anterior, the left, the posterior, or the dorsal?
Okay, dorsal, I don't think a person has that. Because that's a...
Like a dolphin thing.
That's a hole in your body that you breathe through.
No,
I mean, I don't humans think have that.
I don't, it's think a mouth. I don't think that's what a dorsal is.
Oh, no, that's not the hole. The dorsal is the fin, right?
Yeah, dorsal. Yeah.
Maybe that just means back, though. I don't know.
I don't know what it means. I'm not going to tell you. Because that would indicate what it is. So, is it the anterior, the left, the posterior, or the dorsal?
Okay. I think posterior maybe refers to the right hand, because...
Oh, yeah?
Ant is, like, anti, and the left hand is evil, kind of like...
Sure.
Right? Didn't they used to think...
that's true. They do.
They used to think left-handed people were Satanists or something.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
So maybe the left hand is the anterior.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to risk it. I'm going to use Monty Hall and lock in dorsal.
Okay.
It's left, isn't it? I think it's left, by the way.
It's either left or dorsal.
Yes. You tried to trick me. That's not nice. It's the left. Final answer.
Left is correct. I almost got you. I mean, I didn't really almost get you.
It's a very good thing I had Monty Hall, because I would have gone way down that anterior path.
You would have gone, like, well, anterior sounds like it's the other hand, so left hand, anterior hand. Oh, man, it's good stuff. Good stuff. We have any Reddits or anything else going on?
Do you want to do a Reddit?
Yeah, let's go. Let's do it.
Okay, this first one is posted by President Palaver. Thank you, President Palaver.
Thank you, President Palaver.
He asks, if you could have any celebrity read a bedtime story to you, who would it be, and what would they read to you?
That's tough.
I think I have two that come to mind, like, immediately.
Give them to me.
One is, I want David Attenborough to read basically anything to me.
Yes, that's good.
Or maybe Johnny Depp could read Fear and Loathing to me. That would be cool, too.
That would work as well. That's not really a bedtime story. That was not the
That's the drug Vegas story.
Here's mine, okay? Christopher Walken, right?
Right.
Reading Little Red Riding Hood.
Perfect.
And they'd be like, or maybe the Three Little Pigs. Be like, they'll huff and they'll puff and they'll blow the house down. You know what I mean?
And I'll tell you what they do. They blow the house down.
They blow the house down. I can't do Christopher Walken. I can, like, do it if I hear him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I can't do it on command. I can't do it like I can do Arnold. I need to think of a Christopher Walken line. And then, like...
Stab you in the face with a soldering iron.
Synthesize that. That's a good one, yeah. And then synthesize that into an accent.
I think that's a really good answer because he really embellishes his words. You could make a whole YouTube series on Christopher Walken reading fairy tales. Christopher
Walken reading fairy tales. Little Red Riding Hood. See, I have the timing, but not the accent, you know.
Yeah, he's hard to do well.
He is. Anyway, that's mine.
Next Reddit question. This was asked by Sagar Zeger. Thank you, Sagar Zeger.
Yeah.
He asks, what is the correct response to I've heard so much about you?
Oh my God. I don't know. It's like social situations are so bad. Like, I can't, I don't know how to answer this. So this is the thing that annoys me about myself so much. And I don't know if this is the same with you. When someone says something to me and they, like, ask me a question or it's, like, something that requires a response, I just say the first thing that comes to my mind immediately without giving it any thought, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then usually that's, like, the bad thing. Not the bad thing to say, but, like, the dumbest thing to say. And, like, it just goes nowhere. So, like, if someone came up to me and was like, oh, I've heard so much about you, I'd be like, oh, yeah, what have you heard? And then they'd just be like, oh, stuff. And then I'd be like, cool. And then that would be the end of the conversation, basically.
I do the exact same thing. I just say whatever I'm thinking immediately and don't think about it at all.
It's bad because the other person is looking for something to latch onto and to continue the conversation because they wouldn't be saying, I've heard so much about you, if they didn't want to talk to you. Like, that's kind of the whole point of the statement. But with you giving them another question back in return, it doesn't give them anything to say other than, like, oh, I've heard some stuff. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. You're not giving them anything to work with, really.
No, you're not.
I'm bad at that.
I'm so bad at that. I realize that almost, not every day, but I realize it all the time in social situations. People will talk to me, and I think my problem is I assume people don't want to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone asks me something, I'm just like, oh, I'll just say something really quick to get out of this conversation as fast as possible because they obviously don't want to talk to me. But then later I'll be like, oh, you know, they were probably wanting to talk to me more, and me saying that dumb thing shut the conversation down so quickly that they had nowhere to go. They had no avenue to continue, you know what I mean?
Now they might think you're rude, they might think you hate them.
Yeah, I don't know if they necessarily think I'm... But yeah, I know what you mean. Maybe I'm bored. Like, I'm busy. You know, I'm... Whatever. Number of things. But yeah, I'm just... For that question, I would just be like, yeah, what have you heard? Ha, ha, ha. And then they would say, like, a thing. And then they'd be like, okay, great. See you later.
I've been asked this before. I think my exact response was,
That's interesting. And then you're like, that's it.
What have you heard?
What have you heard? That's what I would say. I have a huge problem with this, too. I'm sorry we're talking about so many weird things today on the show.
It's all good.
When someone asks me a question, like, I will respond with another question. Because I'm, like, nervous talking to people. So, like, mm-hmm. I don't want to talk. So if someone asks me something or, like, says something and they want a response and they're expecting, like, oh, I get the floor for a little while and talk for a couple minutes, instead I'll just be like, blah, 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 and I'll ask another question because I don't want to be talking. You know what I mean? So I'm like, I'm going to move this conversation back to you as fast as possible, you know? It's like hot potato. You know what I mean?
Yeah. With this question in particular, it makes me nervous because I'm kind of a paranoid person, mm-hmm. and I feel like, okay, so this person has heard a lot about me. I know nothing about them. So they've got the high ground here, and I am weak.
Right. I'm like, I'm vulnerable right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. So you're like, oh, I need to get the conversation back to them because anything I could say here might screw me further.
Yeah. You know? It's like, maybe I need to make a power move. We need to make a gambit.
But see, so, all these things go through your head, but then you're like, I don't have time to think this through enough. Yeah. So you just say something dumb. That's usually what I do anyway.
So I just end up making a dumb noise like,
and then you walk away. You're like, great, bye. I don't know if you walk away. Maybe you continue this awkward conversation after you said,
Have you ever had it happen where you decide that you're going to try to engage conversation with someone and you get to doing it and they just say, thank you, and like they want you to leave?
Yep. Yep.
This happened to me today, and I felt I felt wounded.
People are hard, and I feel like I'm just so... I have so much anxiety over this all the time.
Yeah.
And it's annoying, because, like, when people obviously want to talk to you, to me, I, like, shut it down really quick, because my brain is just paranoid, and it's like, they don't want to talk to me. They're just asking this to get information, or to be nice. And so I'll just be like... nope, bye. And then, you know, like, just, like, quickly get out of it as quickly as possible. And then later I'll think, oh, maybe they didn't want to talk to me and I just shut them down. But then later, like you said, like, I'll be like, oh, you know, this person was trying to be nice to me. Maybe I'll go to an effort to, you know, chat them up. You know what I mean? Like you were saying. And then you say something and then they're just like, okay. And you're just like, oh, no. What happened? Oh, no. What happens now?
Yeah, in this specific situation, this person from work that I don't usually work with, I was working with today, and she asked if I had ever heard of anything, heard of this specific thing, and I was like, no, I've never heard of that, but, and then I started giving my opinion on what I think it might be like, and she was like, thank you.
Whoa, like, that is weird, yes.
And she was like, okay, I don't care about your opinion, you don't know what this is, so go away. Yeah, it was rude, actually.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's okay.
That sounds like it stings.
She's a PhD candidate, so she kind of has that attitude.
PhD.
Yeah, the PhD candidate.
Good for her.
Wow.
Good for her. Huh. Yeah, I mean, I hate that. I can never read what people's intentions are. So it's like, oh, yeah, great. Thanks. It's like, okay, does this mean you don't want to talk to me ever again? Or does this mean you are done with this conversation? Like, what's going on here, you know?
Yeah.
How does this work? You know, it's confusing. I don't know. Social situations at work are just weird. They're just awkward in general, I think.
Do you want to do one more Reddit question?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Okay, another Reddit question. This was asked by Happy Kitty Meow Meow. Thank you, Happy Kitty Meow Meow.
Thank you, Happy Kitty Meow Meow.
He says, if you come upon a fork in the road with no information on where these roads go, where do you go, left or right?
Whew.
There's no other information. It's just left or right.
Left. What would you do?
I think I go right.
Why?
I read left to right, and usually when I'm exploring maps in video games, I'll go along the right edge of the wall until...
This is an interesting topic now. Mm-hmm. Are you a depth-first search kind of person in video games or a breadth-first search? And I can define that if you don't know what that means.
Let's define it.
So let's say you have a map, like in Metroid, okay?
Okay.
And you go south, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a room you're in right now. And now there's another room to the right of you, and then there's another room down, okay? Now, if you go to the right, you assume that you're going to see more of the rooms kind of on the same tier. Like, they're all in the same general latitude, if you will, like, of the map. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Yes. Or you could go down, and the going down, you're gonna keep going down until you reach the very bottom kind of thing. So, like, are you filling the map out in, like, kind of squares where it's, like, a nice even rectangle? Or are you like, screw the square, I'm going to go down this path until I literally cannot go anymore? You see what I'm saying? That's the depth way.
Yeah, I don't do depth.
So you're trying to get, like, a nice even understanding of the map.
Yeah, I mean, a map specifically like Metroid where it's squares and you can either go up, down, left, right, I will always go along the right edge until I go full circle, and then I'll go down.
So you'll, like, you'll explore as much as you can within this confined area, and then you'll, like, move on to another area, and then move on, and then move on.
Yeah, unless the goal is to finish as quickly as possible. Yeah, then I'll
absolutely explore that immediate area thoroughly until you move on. Like, you're not gonna, like, be like, oh, there are two other rooms over here, but this path goes down for, like, 100 yards, like a really long time. I'm gonna see what's all the way at the bottom there. You know?
Yeah, not gonna do that.
Interesting. I'm the other way. I do the opposite. Yeah.
So. But you're not ready to see that yet.
How do you know?
Because why would the auxiliary rooms be there unless you were supposed to go in them?
This is just how I do it. Maybe that's why
you just have to test it.
Maybe that's why I chose left and you chose right. I don't know.
Maybe it
could be something to do with that.
Or maybe you're evil.
I'm anterior, as it were.
Yeah.
Are you ready for your last and final trivia question?
Yes.
Okay. Your last question is entertainment. It's very broad, but what would you like as your lifeline?
What's a lifeline that I don't have to touch my computer?
I don't know if you have any left. Hold on. I haven't looked at our lifelines in, like, years.
I'll do,
what?
I'll wing it.
You can do Rhyme Time. We haven't done that one in a while.
Yeah, let's do Rhyme Time. Okay.
It's the one. Okay. What did Walt Disney originally want to name Mickey Mouse? Originally Mickey Mouse, Walt Disney wanted to name him this. Was it A, Maximilian, B, Miles, C, Mortimer, or D, Maverick?
Maximilian, Mortimer, Miles.
Maverick.
He doesn't seem like a maverick. He's just not cool enough.
He's not cool enough to be Maverick. Maverick Mouse. That's like a... Maverick Mouse would be like the Shadow the Hedgehog.
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse.
Dark Mickey. Why isn't that a thing? Why has that never happened?
I don't know. I just thought of that. It's like a great idea. Like Dark Mickey? It sounds like I should be in Kingdom Hearts already, don't you think? You know?
Yeah, he should be. Maverick. He should, like, do all the cool stuff, Maverick. And then Mickey's like, wow, Maverick's really cool. And Mickey's like, no, he's not. He's not cool.
Maverick, he's really lame. Mouse. And he's like a gun, because he does.
Of course he does.
Maverick Mouth. Yeah, Maximilian, Miles, Mortimer, Maverick.
I don't think it's Mortimer, because that's one of your favorite names.
Is it one of my favorite names?
It just seems like a name you would like a lot.
I would have made it up.
No, I know the name Mortimer, but that's a name, that's a you name.
That's a name I would make up for the trivia question.
Yeah, so Miles or Maximilian? Maximilian... I think with an animated character, you have to have a short name like Bugs, Daffy.
Sure, it's long.
Yeah, Maximilian is long, so I'm going to go with Miles Mouse.
Is that your final answer?
Final answer.
You're not going with Maverick?
No, I don't think it's Maverick Mouse.
Miles Mouse is your final?
Yes.
Miles Mouse is incorrect.
Which one is it?
Do you have a second guess?
Mortimer, Maximilian, Maverick. Yeah. God, is it Maverick?
No, it's not Maverick.
Okay.
That would have been really funny, though. It's Mortimer. It is Mortimer.
It's Mortimer? Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. See? I didn't make it up. That was the name. I made it Maverick because I thought it was funny.
That's a cooler name than Mickey, you know?
Mortimer Mouse, you think?
Yeah.
Mortimer sounds like his dopey brother, like the Luigi of Mickey Mouse, you know?
Yeah. It sounds like he lives in a library that's lit with candles, and he's got, like... spells and dream catchers,
like,
yeah, everywhere.
It's like stupid books all day. Mortimer, I'm Mortimer Mouse. And then, so we got the Mickey brothers. It's Mickey, he's like the Mario, right? Mm-hmm. Mortimer's like the Luigi. Maverick is like the Shadow the Hedgehog version. And Maverick is always out, like, he's kind of the bad boy, you know, he, like, gets in trouble a little bit, and all the girls love him, though.
He doesn't stay in one place too long.
He has all these cool poses that he perfects. It's like, I'm
Maverick Mouse. He never just stands in a normal posture. He's always pointing his fingers or, like, doing his hair.
He has shades on or whatever.
Yeah, he's a pompadour.
Maverick Mouse. The House of Maverick Mouse. Yeah, so that's that was your trivia. You got it. Do you want to do one more?
Do you want to do a would you rather before we go?
Yeah, let's finish with the would you rather. Finish the show on a high note. Go ahead.
Would you rather be successful for a month or a robot for a week?
If you could be a robot for a week, you wouldn't have any emotions, so it would be nice, right?
Yeah, it would.
But successful would be nice, too, because then people would actually... See, I'm going to go successful, because then I could brag about myself for a whole month. And people would be like, wow, you're so cool. And that would probably give me enough confidence to last, like, an entire year after that.
And you know, the thing about success is you really just have to do it once. I mean, think about that Mario guy. No, he hit it. He hit it off one time real good, and yeah. He's set for life.
You just need your chance. You know, you need your one shot, and you got to just do it really good. And then this is a depressing topic. Do you think your chance has passed you by already or not?
It's zero.
What do you mean it's at zero?
My chance of success is...
No, it's not at zero. I'm just asking, do you think, like, if you subscribe to the everyone has one chance to get, to, like, become successful, do you think your chance has passed by?
No, I don't think everyone has one chance to be successful. Too many chances.
That's like one too many chances. But if everyone did get one chance,
right?
Do you think you would have already passed that?
Yeah, of course.
You think you would have? What time?
Yeah,
we can get this next show because we're running out of time right now. I think mine has two. Just for the record.
And with that,
who's our sponsor today, Batson?
Our sponsor today is a better microphone for me because this one doesn't work.
Remember, when you need a good microphone, choose better microphones. Remember, when you're feeling kind of rude,
go in the nude.
Thanks. Good night, everyone, and drive safely.
Good night.